How do you take your coffee, Lance?
Oh,
First thing in
black
the morning.
and very, very full to the
This is All Things Education, a podcast where three-decade teachers discuss what they know.
The good, the not so good, and the continuous opportunity for high-quality education in Texas.
Join us for a smart conversation as we dig deep into the issues that affect us all in and around our great state. And here are those three fabulous instructors now.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Matthew.
What's up?
One of the things that I have observed over the course of my 14 years as a classroom teacher that I find interesting is the way people react when they ask me what I do for a living. Right? What do you do? What's your job? I'm a teacher. And the reaction is almost the same every time. You guys feel this?
Yeah,
almost every time it's like they give me this look of sympathy or maybe it's pity, and then, oh my God, I can't imagine, right? Or I don't know how you do that, or just like sort of like thank you,
right? Thank you for your sacrifice.
as if I'm like a war vet or something.
Yeah,
and
although we do deserve to be thanked for our service,
we 100% do, but not pitied or questioned about why we would ever get into this kind of a profession.
It does feel like the type of profession or vocation that everybody has some preconceived notion or reaction to
100%
before that conversation, before you even put your two cents in as the career educator.
It's like, you know, what I do for a living is impossible, or at least other people's perspective of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's this enormous emotional undertaking that they could never imagine themselves doing. And so today I want to talk about what it's like to be a teacher, right? What our day-to-day actually looks like and why we love what we do and thrive in what we do.
And continue to show up.
And continue to show up, exactly. And so hopefully this sheds maybe a new light or perspective on what teaching is about, what makes it challenging or what makes it rewarding.
Yeah, and maybe at the end, next time you hear that one of your new friends at a dinner party as a teacher, you'll know exactly how to respond.
So first off, if you could sum up your day in just a few words, Lance, what words would you choose?
I mean, I don't need a few words, Matthew. I just need the one: unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
Every day we go in, we know kind of what to expect, but really we don't. Even just from a period to period or minute to minute basis, sometimes it's hard to predict what is going to be taking up the majority of your time on that given day as you respond to your students' needs, both academically and then sometimes from a discipline or social standpoint as well. Sometimes good, sometimes less good. The unpredictability of the job is what keeps me going back in every single day. What about you, Natalie?
Honestly, the word that comes to mind, dialogue. I spend all day, every day talking to, talking through, talking around, up, down, backwards, forwards. There's so much dialogue all day, every day. And it is important. It's one of the most important aspects of what we do as educators, because we're talking to students, we're talking to parents, we're talking to teachers. A lot of times that dialogue is bridging understanding and communication between some of those different parties that are involved, and rightfully so. I mean, that's part of what makes the partnership in education between all of those parties effective. And so it is important, but it is exhausting. I often have dry mouth at the end of the day. I often find myself sitting and staring at a blank wall because I have talked myself to death and I need a minute to take a beat, to reboot, and find new words to say.
Absolutely. And I totally hear you, Lance, with the unpredictable. You know, I've been teaching for 14 years now, and I'm embarrassed to say it, but I sometimes still have no idea how a particular lesson plan is going to go. Ones I think are like amazing and brilliant, and then they just like totally flop. And then others, I think, like, oh, I'm a little worried that this might come off as boring. And it's like a home run. And so, like, no day is the same. No class is the same. So there's always this sort of, you know, unpredictable nature to teaching. But I would also say fast pace, right? That this is, there's a lot of energy, a lot of moving around. I'm on my feet all day, interacting, talking. And my days just go by so quickly. The year goes, I can't believe it's already March. And I don't know. I mean, it flies by, which is why I love teaching.
Yeah, you pour a lot of yourself into it.
So my next question is, tell us a little bit about how your day starts off when you first get to campus and how you prep yourself for what's to come, the inevitable.
Well, how I prep myself is one word, coffee. No, I'm just kidding. Sometimes by the time I get to campus, it's cup number two, right? And of more. But no, I mean, honestly, when I get to the campus in what we would sometimes call the calm before the storm, it's all about showtime, right? One thing about one thing about our job in comparison to some others is that there's that moment where you got to be ready. There's about to be 20 something warm bodies in your room and they're all eyes are going to be on you. So when I get to the building, it's high impact items that must be addressed right now. Lesson tweaks. Sometimes it's just copies, things of that nature that I'm going to need for first period. Along with other high leverage to-do items like the parents that I have to contact today or that assessment data from the previous day that leads to me making those needed adjustments. That's what it's like when I walk into the building.
Yeah, totally.
How do you take your coffee, Lance?
Oh, black and very, very full to the brim.
Nice. Natalie, what about you? How does your day start off?
In a way, I feel as though I am a pilot stepping into my command station because I feel like there's so much that I have to literally power on, and it is mentally as much as it is physically. So
I love this analogy, by the way.
Turning on, yeah.
Top Gun Maverick over here.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, I do have two screens, which are essential to my day-to-day. I could not live without the second screen.
Jealous.
But truly, I mean, there's so many logins, there's so many applications that I have to have open. There's so many programs that I oversee that I need to have on the ready, because I'm going to be accessing those things throughout the day at any given moment. And so my day really does start with that, like, reboot.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I'm doing that physically, I'm also doing that internally. I have to reboot, like, okay, clean slate, new start. Where did I leave off? What do I need to pick up? And we just hit the ground running as soon as I set foot.
Totally.
In the door. What about you, Matthew?
Love it. So this year I am so, so fortunate in that I have my prep period first period.
Oh, what is that like?
Oh, it is heaven, let me tell you. So I have about an hour of just me in my classroom getting ready, looking over my notes, reviewing my lessons. And then I would say 4 out of 5 days a week, I am at some point within that hour downstairs in front of the copier, making copies, fixing the machine, making more copies, maybe fixing the machine again, and then more copies.
We should let our listeners know that one of the key items that on the resume of any teacher is copier mechanic.
Yeah,
right? Do you know how to clear a jam?
Exactly.
Because if not, look for another job.
I think a big part of being a teacher is this performative element. A lot of the times I think that I associate teaching with acting. And, you know, you've got an audience you're trying to get a message or an energy or an idea across to. But that audience throughout the day is changing. Mm-hmm. I teach 6 different classes. I teach 3 different subjects and I teach about 190 kids every day. And so I feel like I'm always shifting or in transitioning in terms of who I'm teaching to and what I'm teaching. I was curious to get your perspective, both of your perspectives on this, in terms of, like, how do you change in terms of your style, your mood, your energy?
Manage the constant transitions throughout the day.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I want to say this about something that you just mentioned, which is teaching being performative, but not in a disingenuous way. I don't want anyone to have that impression that we are performative and that it's not authentic.
Oh, no, completely.
But performative in that we have to be on because we are the front line of delivering something to students, and we need and we want them to know that it is valuable and it is worth their attention. Right. So we have to be on to engage them.
And we want them to want to be there.
Right. Yeah. So I just wanted to name that for listeners, anybody that maybe isn't in education, because they, you know, I don't want anybody to get the wrong impression there, but what you're saying is very true. I think for me, as far as how I manage those transitions, is really rooted in the acceptance that the quick switch from one task, one class, one conversation to the next is inevitable.
Yeah.
And that, you know, in any of those one areas, you're not necessarily going to be able to tie a nice, neat little bow on that project, that lesson, that, you know, conference, whatever, at the end of every one. And so just going in knowing that, that there's all these sort of individual things that are floating and at different stages of their development and progress and all that is kind of essential. It's just like part of the deal. And so knowing that makes learning how to toggle between things, I think, a little bit more manageable.
Yeah, I like the theater analogy, Matthew, that you mentioned, because your favorite Broadway actor might do 8 shows a week, right? We're upwards of 25 shows a week when it comes to period by period. And much like actor on stage, sometimes a restroom break is not on call for us.
Right.
Bladder control is a huge component of teaching. Yeah. We're copier mechanics. We control our bladders and maybe a number of other things you didn't expect. But in those transitions, like Natalie was talking about, if we're not sprinting to the bathroom, breathing is key, right?
Yeah.
And taking a brain break before you do inevitably have to do that quick switch to the next class when your cue comes up again as the next group of kids shuffles into your room. You need to take a breath. You need to rest your brain. Sometimes it can be staring at the wall for a minute. For me, I like to do a few lines of the daily crossword puzzle in that time
period. Nice.
Or something of that nature, something completely separate from the performance of the job. And then, you know what? Locked and loaded as the next class comes in. What about you, Matthew?
Totally. I think for me, it's having routines in between those transitions to just sort of like, you know, set you right again. Because like you said at the beginning, Lance, this is a very unpredictable job by nature. And so the more sort of like systems or routines that you can have in place, the better off you're going to be, or the more manageable it's going to be. And so for me, it's just like, at the end of every class period, I've got a routine in terms of how the kids are dismissed and where they go and what they do and so forth, of course. But it's also like I have some plants in my room. I go around my classroom with a water bottle and give them a little water. I don't know. It's just habitual. And it just like helps me sort of like get out of the space of, you know, the grind. Thank you.
It's like a reset.
Maybe it's a therapeutic mechanical motion.
Totally. My next question is, what do you feel is the most challenging part of your day, Lance?
I mean, so many of the aspects of it. With that unpredictability comes the need to digest and synthesize all of the inputs that your brain took in that day.
Mm-hmm.
So much of teaching and lesson planning is a response to data that you've collected. It can be something really obvious, like an assessment, which will give you a huge pile of data that you need for reteaching or scaffolding or changing your calendar or anything like that. But also another huge aspect of teaching is remembering that we are a comfortable and safe space for students. And so maybe the data that I need to respond to at the end of the day is noticing the kid that was a little bit off, or noticing an interaction between a few kids that I really need to address. And so at the end of the day, one of the most challenging components is writing down and codifying all of the myriad things that I was through my pulpit, I needed to notice. And then, of course, even more importantly, need to respond to.
And so, you're exhausted by this point.
Yes, exactly. But next day, Lance has to be able to take care of it. What about you, Natalie?
You know, what comes to mind for me is something that really could happen at any given point in a day. And so sometimes it might be earlier, it might be later in the day. But it is when I catch myself in what I am going to affectionately term the loop.
Oh, okay.
Meaning that there comes a point where we feel like we are repeating ourselves for the umpteenth time, mm-hmm. whether it's in the delivery of the lesson, because yeah. we're delivering that lesson so many times, or, you know, in my case, sometimes it's conversations with students about their credit recovery. Like, where are you at with that? Have you accessed it? You know, and I'm asking several kids the same questions throughout the course of the day. What I think is like from a self-awareness perspective, every interaction deserves our best energy.
Yeah.
And so the most challenging thing can be to catch yourself in that moment, in that loop, and intentionally reset so that you are giving that student, that class, that person, you know, your best, because that's what that moment calls for.
Every audience deserves your best performance.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. It would be really easy for any educator to hit that point in the day and just be like, okay, I'm tapped out.
Right.
And the truth is, that's not an option.
Nope.
So
we need to be greeting each group of students with the same fist bump and level of positivity that first period got.
Exactly.
For a morning person or vice versa.
Exactly.
So,
and even if that last class was hectic or chaotic or something happened that, you know, kind of threw your energy off, I have to be able to reset and not let that impact the way that I show up for the next group.
It took me as an educator a number of years to really be able to do that, yeah. right? To really be able to let that go, let that energy go,
mm-hmm.
and advance and move on.
Yeah.
But once you're able to do that as an educator, oh, it can make everything so much mm-hmm. more sustainable, yeah. because you're invariably going to have those moments.
And right? These are the little nuanced things that I'm glad we're talking about it on this episode, because these are the little nuanced things about being a teacher that you don't hear about. And I don't know that it's really widely discussed even in teacher preparation scenarios. Yeah,
right.
So
what do you look forward to the most in a given day? What gets you excited? Is there a particular point or a particular aspect of the job that, you know, you just, this is going to come and you're really looking forward to it? Natalie?
Unpopular opinion amongst educators, my favorite point of the day is lunch duty.
What?
All right, hold on. For our listeners, let's just be really clear here. As a teacher, lunch duty is
loud.
Loud, yes. Loud and a little disgusting.
It could be.
There's a certain smell attached to it.
Yes, there's always a smell.
The olfactory.
Yes, but for me, what overrides any of those elements is that it is the point in the day where I truly get to engage and interact with students on like a whole child level, which I think we don't get to do in the current state of our day-to-day as educators, unless we intentionally make or take or have the opportunity to do so. And for me, that is at lunch duty, because that is when I can walk around and talk to kids about the book they're reading, or,
totally.
You know, compliment that art that they're creating, or ask them, you know, what they did over the weekend, or just anything to engage with them on a human level. Because that's that relationship piece that we hear about and talk about all the time. And it's in those little minor touch point conversations that are not centered around academics. And so I really enjoy that aspect of it.
And I find those opportunities on trips as well.
Yes.
Right. Field trips, again, like for our listeners, challenging moments right. for the teacher for sure, but they're so, I mean, it's like a whole day or a half day where you can really get to know your mm-hmm. students, your the kids on a much more, much deeper level.
Yes.
And that is really exciting and fun.
Absolutely. Lance, what's your favorite point in the day?
I mean, all of it. No.
coffee again? It's your coffee.
Honestly, that second pour can really do it. But, I mean, it's no one specific period or part mm-hmm. of my day. It's mostly, to tie it back full circle to my first answer, the delight that comes from the unexpected response or the unexpected question. When a student exhibits something exceptionally inquisitive or skeptical about a topic that we're learning and takes the class into the joyful place of class discussion, the one where when you go home at the end of the day, the first thing you say to your family is how excited you were by Johnny's question. That's what I look forward to every yeah. single day. I love it.
Nice.
Yeah. Those little
good
moments.
Answer. Good answer.
Yeah. Those little moments of discovery.
Yeah, the diversions.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it's just like, like Lance, it's not any one specific moment, but I know for certain every day that I go to school, there is going to be this point where I am laughing, right? Because inevitably someone is going to do something.
Yeah, kids are
that's
funny.
Just like they so are. Funny or so silly or so weird and imaginative. And having the opportunity every day to work in that space is amazing.
Can I ask something real quick of both of you?
Oh,
please.
Go ahead.
Do you refer to it as going to work or going to school? And if you say it different ways at different times, what are the caveats?
Oh, that's so interesting. You know, I haven't thought about this, but I say more often than not going to school.
Yeah, you just said that. And that's what we
right. Remember. Yeah.
I definitely say going to work, mm. but I also quickly append it with, and I love my job.
That's funny.
Well, I hope that we were able to shed some light into the day in the life of a teacher, of an educator, and what the job is kind of all about in this
yeah,
episode.
I think one of the greatest things that we can do for our listeners is just express and illustrate to them that, you know, teachers love what they do. And they're tired. Both of those things are true.
Right.
Because also, we never even addressed that these teachers are humans with families and lives outside of, you know, the classroom. Mm-hmm. And so with all of that being said, you know, both of those things are true. And we want to acknowledge everyone's effort in their service.
Right. And for any preconceived perceptions or even misconceptions that you might have had about what it's like to spend the day in the life of a teacher, I hope that you at least understand that there's a lot more going on inside the teacher's head than you might initially realize. So when we say that there's no life like teacher life, don't just give us your sympathy. Maybe give us
respect.
A little thanks.
Yeah.
A little Starbucks gift card.
Yes.
That doesn't hurt. All right, y'all. Have a great one, and we'll see you next episode. Bye now.
Later.
Thank you for listening to All Things Education.
Be sure to leave us a review and share the show with everyone you know.
If you liked what you heard, stay tuned for more compelling conversations with Natalie, Matthew, and Lance.
Until next time, Texas.